Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 112 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Good day.
Good day.
Is this your first Friday off
the second,
of your new... No, second Friday off of the new regime. Okay.
The new regime. Which is, I have Fridays off now.
Yes. And so, I don't. We're recording this midday, and then I get to go work tonight.
Yeah.
So what announcements do you have?
Well, Cardi Party has a couple more days, so it'll be over probably by the time you hear this.
And you're coming in on the home stretch.
I am, finally. But there are like 40-something sweaters now, and some people have finished multiple. It's kind of insane.
Well, the fact that whips count was a good... good motivation, I think, for some people to finish off some languishing projects. So good on all of you. Yay you.
Yeah. So I have some prizes. The Vest Bets book. That's kind of hard to say.
Yes.
Which is donated by a listener. And Sonia from Stash contacted me, and she's donating a tote bag from their store. Which is...
Is that I like to party, and by party I mean knit.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
That tote bag.
Yay. Thank you, Sonia.
And a pattern by Vanessa Polo. She's a listener. She's donating a pattern of your choice from her pay patterns. And then I'm just going to donate a cardigan pattern, like whatever cardigan pattern you want. So there are four prizes. So there you go.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. It ends on the 15th. And then I'm just going to say we're not going to be doing a knit-along through the holiday season because it gets crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You should just relax.
That's right.
And me.
By relax, we mean we know you're going to go and knit a whole bunch of presents for other people, so don't worry about a knit along.
Which I'm in the planning stages for that, so.
Helen Stewart's Knit Vent collection is also currently being released, and she has kindly offered Double Knit listeners a coupon code through November 30th to get 15% off. And the code is DKKNITVENT15. That's 15. And you can get in on that. And she has released, I believe, 2 patterns. And by the time you hear this, it will be 3. And use those as gift knitting. They're generally fairly quick projects that are great for gifting. Thanks, Helen.
Alrighty.
Anyway. So if you finished a bunch of hats.
I finished a bunch of stuff. Yeah. So I went to my retreat. Right. And my November retreat, and this year I just decided to, well, one, I wasn't driving myself, so I didn't want to bring so much stuff, so I didn't bring any of my spinning stuff with me, and then I decided I would just bring my Rubbermaid bin, that like a little bin that has all the Cascade balls that Andy had given me, like all the oddballs, and I was going to just knit Helix hats, but of course... When I got there, I immediately started acquiring all this yarn because people take, you know, put all their stuff in the, like, we'll have a bag that's, like, free that is, you know, 6 partial skeins of, you know, worsted weight, whatever. And I'm like, ooh, this would be perfect for hats. This would be perfect for hats. Mm-hmm. So and then I ended up acquiring all this stuff. So then I ended up knitting a ton of helixes with all the stuff that I was grabbing up at the retreat instead of any of the yarn I brought with me. And I realized it was just dumb. Like, next year I should just bring yarn or just bring the needles to knit Helix hats and just grab yarn when I get there and not even bother bringing anything with me. So I finished like a hat a day while I was at the retreat. And then since I've gotten home, I haven't finished them like that quickly, but maybe I'm knocking off like one every 2-3 days. So like I'm just casting on for a new one now because I just finished one this morning. So just knitting tons and tons and tons of them. Although I think what I'm going to do is, I mean, originally I was going to donate them all, but we have a cast appreciation at work that all the leaders have to like bring stuff in, do something to appreciate, you know, to show the cast that we appreciate them. Mm-hmm. And usually that takes the form of food. But there's a, you know what holidays are like at work. There's just lots of junk food. There's just candy like crazy. So I thought I'll probably bring food too. Cause if I don't bring food, there might be like a revolt. yeah, exactly. But I think I'm also going to bring a basket just full of all the hats that I've been making and say, like, hey, if you like one, take one. If you don't like them, I'm not offended. Yeah. You know, I'm not making these with a particular person
in
mind.
That's a good idea.
and see if people want to take them. Because some of my coworkers have expressed a lot of interest in my knitting. Or like one of them. Oh, I knit one other thing. I lie. I did finish one other thing because one of my coworkers wears this really chunky knitted headband from American Eagle all the time. And I don't know, we were talking about it and she was like, yeah, it's getting a little ratty. And I'm like, I could make one of those for you in like an hour. And she's like, really? And we were just chatting about it. And I went home and I'm like, I'm totally going to do that. So I had a skein of some random unlabeled bulky that I'm assuming is like a wool acrylic blend that I got at the retreat. And I doubled it and knit on 13s. And it took me like less than, like I watched an episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and it was done. Brought it in for her the next day and she's already been wearing it. She sent me, I've been forced to join Snapchat because I work with young people. So she sent me a snap of her wearing it. I still don't understand Snapchat. I think there's like, if you're over 40, Snapchat is just confusing. I don't get it. And I'm pretty savvy with other social media. Snapchat just totally eludes me. But so I made that for her. And then it's just been like hats. Sweet. Yep. Yeah. And it's like, I keep thinking like, at some point I'm going to get tired of it. But I was saying to Kathy, part of the problem is like, I just finished knitting one this morning and now I've got like, still have three partial balls of yarn. So it's like, well, I want to knit another one to use that up. And then I'll run out of these three while I'm knitting the hat and start incorporating another yarn. And when I finish that hat, there'll be a partial, and it's just, it's endless leapfrog where there's still always yarn to be knit. And I also got so much yarn at the retreat. It was
crazy. Your Instagram pictures. I was like, whoa.
Well, people were, I mean, like one person was selling. I mean, selling is like there's like air quotes around selling. She had six skeins of crayon in three different colors. It was $5. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you not take that home? Like, that's just crazy. And
everything must go. Do you think y'all read that Con Marie book?
That's what someone said. This year, the stash show was crazy. Like, usually it takes a couple days for it to really ramp up. This year, like, Wednesday, 4 p.m. when the retreat started, the room was full, like, teeming with stuff. And someone said to me, she's like, maybe everyone's reading that Marie Kondo book, and they're all just clearing out their stashes. And there's definitely something in the air of people just clearing out way more than they usually are.
Huh.
And I always bring just a couple of things where I'm like, yeah, you know, I guess I'm not going to really use this. So I hardly ever, I mean, I bring a tiny little stack of things to sell, but it was so crazy this year. And then, yeah, I don't even need to go into all the details, but things like a skein of Monosfino in a beautiful color someone had for like $10. And I got a skein of Desert Vista that Pat Scott was selling. So, hey, Pat. She was selling all the sock yarn. She decided she didn't need $10 a skein. So I got the colorway that I never would have purchased normally called Happy Birthday Cupcake. That's like pink and a different pink and then like confetti in a cell striper. But I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try this out. Because I haven't worked with any of the hand-dyed cell striping yarns yet.
That's fun.
Yeah, so just, I went nuts. I loaded up so severely on yarn, and I got home. I think I created, like, something like 34 new Ravelry entries when I got home. Wow. And that isn't even counting a lot of the stuff that were, it was just, like, little oddballs of stuff that I was like, I'm just going to put that in my hat bin. So, yeah.
So you had a good time.
I did. I went a little crazy. Kathy came for the first time this year.
Did?
Yeah.
Fun.
So, yeah, we had a good time.
Love Port Townsend.
Yeah.
It's a good place.
Yeah, it was really nice. I really need it. You know, October was pretty rough for me. Yeah. And
you needed a break.
Yeah, it was just good to go somewhere and just hang out and relax and be with my friends.
Roll around in yarn.
Yeah, go completely psycho and on stash. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's all that's been going on with me. I'm sure you've been far more productive.
I finished Chuck, which I was working on the sleeve. Right. Second sleeve last time. And I've been wearing it. It's in high rotation. So it looks really good with fit and flare dresses, which I've made a bunch of. So I've been wearing that a lot because it's like 3/4 sleeves. It's cropped. So like the waistlines aren't competing.
Right.
Because the fit and flare ones are the waistline isn't my natural waist. Mm-hmm. And so that is like a perfect fit you don't have like weirdly long things with things that are kind of have like a higher waist. Anyway, I like that. And I knit a baby hat for Audrey's teammate has a new baby brother. They have three girls and they just had a boy.
Four kids.
I know. Oh, it's crazy. They're like the nicest people and all their kids are super nice and they all sat and would talk to me at practice and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you know, one boy. Yeah. They were given a lot of stuff, but I was like, well, I kind of want to make them something special. So
that's cool.
I made Giacomo's baby hat, which is a free pattern on Pearl Soho. And it's just a little sport weight baby hat that has a wide color work band.
Oh.
So you knit a little bit of ribbing and then a little bit of the main color. Then the bulk of the hat is like this color work motif. And then you switch back to the main color and do the decreases and you're done. It's like an evening or two worth of knitting.
Cool.
And I used baby cashmerino.
Mm.
And I used kind of like Seahawk Sounders colors because I happen to have them. And they're in...
Actually, your sweater that you're wearing now is a little Seahawksy Soundersy too. You're wearing your like Seahawks
Friday. I'm not
Friday.
A sports fan.
Neither am I, sorry.
But Friday's like Seahawks day everywhere. And yeah. I'm wearing my Fair Isle Yoke sweater by Elizabeth Zimmerman and it's like bright green and blue. So it's a great color combination, but I kind of hate wearing it in Seattle.
I know.
Everyone comments on it.
Yeah.
And
Seahawks fan, yay. Go Hawks. I have coworkers who come to work on Fridays in their Seahawks eye makeup. Like, they do, like, serious, like, lime green, blue eye makeup on Fridays for the Seahawks.
Well, they have that.
I was going to say, not my people.
So I just, I had blues and greens, so I just did kind of Sounders colors. And then I sent it home with the husband because he came to the pizza party because they weren't going to bring all four kids to the end of season pizza party. And I got a email back the next day with a picture of the baby wearing the
hat. Good job, like, new parents.
Okay. And they were always asking me about knitting and they were super excited that I was always knitting at practices and stuff. So they're very excited.
So nice to knit for people who are appreciative. That's very nice knit gift etiquette too.
Yeah.
To send the requisite baby picture.
He's super cute. So that's up on my Ravelry page. Picture of Michael and his little baby hat.
Oh,
it's adorable. His tongue is sticking out. And I finished my self-striping socks.
Oh, cool. I saw them over there.
Yeah.
Pretty.
I had to take pictures still. Also blue and green.
Also blue and green. Slightly less Seahawksy though.
Yeah.
A little more teal than
bright blue.
Than the Seahawksy green.
Yeah. So I finished those and I have to take pictures. So I haven't worn them yet, but I love her base because my zombie Hello Kitty socks are one of my favorite pairs of socks.
And
to
this
wear.
Is Canon Dye Works.
Canon Hand Dyes.
Hand Dyes. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's the Amy Lee Show on Etsy, which I find that kind of confusing.
Oh. is weird.
Yeah. Three different or two different names.
Huh.
Anyway, but I love the base. Mm-hmm. The base she uses for her sock yarns is really nice, and it's got a nice twist, like twirling my fingers. Has a nice twist and feels good on my feet, but and it feels soft, but I haven't noticed like hardly any wear on my.
I was gonna say it feels like one of those ones that you know is going to be really hard wearing. That it's got
it's plump and sturdy.
Have I like twisted my cast on? Am I just like that bad a knitter? Yeah.
Did you twist it?
I did. Yeah. Oh. I'll untwist it.
Okay.
I'll deal with it. Okay.
And I knit a green shawl. I'll pull it out and show you when we're done.
Okay.
Out of one skein of hazelnuts. I thought it was Enticed, but I think it's Divine.
Mm-hmm.
That has silk and alpaca in it, I want to say. Does one of them have alpaca?
No, the Divine is, the Divine is merino cashmere silk as opposed to the Enticed, which is the merino cashmere. Am I getting that? Yeah, merino cashmere nylon.
Oh, I think it's the one with silk in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is really nice.
Yeah, so I just made up this one skein shawl because I needed something for social knitting. And it is great. And I've been wearing it every day.
It makes such a good shawl, too, because it's got that really great drape to it. And it feels amazing.
It's kind of lustrous, and it's really warm, and it makes, like, a really nice little layering piece. Because it's not super, super cold. It's just kind of damp and chilly right now. So, knit that. And I'm working on the Lily Pilly, which is a 3-color shawl. Well, it's a wrap because it's a parallelogram by Amba O'Brien. Mm-hmm. And it is garter stripes and then a big block of garter stripes in 2 colors, a big block of kind of geometric lace design in a 3rd color, and then more stripes, and then more lace, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it repeats.
It's like on the bias, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm still working on the first stripe section, but it's 100-something stitches, and you knit 50 rows. So, whatever.
You'll be doing that also, for a while.
Yeah. Social knitting as well.
And then what are you knitting that in?
Hazelknits that I got on my birthday.
Is that Hobby?
It's 3 rogue colors. That burnt orange that's over there on the other side of the socks.
So this is like an off skein of Hobby where it's a little more orange.
It's like a kind of a mustardy color. Mm-hmm. And then this teal, super dark. It's really pretty.
Yeah.
Teal blue, and then a burnt orange is my 3rd color.
Cool.
And the Yarniax. Well, at least Gail, I'm not sure if Charlene is doing it. They're having like an informal 3-color shawl knit along that doesn't really have start or end dates. It's just going on right now. So like, and I had these 3 out, planning on knitting Lily Pilly with it. And I was like, well, that's perfect. I'll just do that. So, and there are a bunch of good 3-color shawl. They made a bundle. One of the listeners made a bundle.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So if you go to that page, there's a whole bundle of 3-color shawl patterns or wraps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost done with my channel cardigan.
Yay!
That is for the knit along, so I have 2 days to finish it. That was a hard thing to get through. First, I made a lot of modifications to the pattern.
Yeah.
And then it was on timeout for like 6 weeks because I was mad at the sleeve, the second sleeve, because I couldn't get I didn't write down what I did the first time because we were camping, and I had to rip it out 3 times. But the sleeve is done. The button bands, because you knit part of the button band separate and sew it on. You pick up part of the button band and knit it, and then the 3rd part you sew on again. So I'm done with the first 2 parts, and I'm on the 3rd part that actually has the buttonholes in it, but it's like a weird little kind of Y-shaped piece of knitting. Mm. So it goes pretty quickly. So I should be able to finish it over the weekend. I'm going to work on it more today and hopefully get it sewn together, and I might get buttons at KnitFit because there's, I think, a button person.
Oh, it's Anne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Anne McCain is selling buttons in KnitFit.
Okay, well, I'm going to check out what she has.
Yeah.
And maybe get some there.
Cool.
Yeah. And that'll be done.
Yay.
And it's like, it has been so good for the cooler weather because it's like having a freaking blanket on my lap while I'm knitting it. You know, I was pointing that out last night. He's like, it's good that you have that blanket sweater on your lap while you're cold. I did bust out my hot water bottle, though.
Oh, yeah.
I was, like, cozying up with that this week.
I just have the dogs.
Yeah.
George warms our bed for us before we go to sleep.
The cat's not nice enough like that.
Well, she just doesn't cover enough square footage.
That's true.
Yeah, once we got both the dogs on the bed, that's about 75% of the bed covered, so gets things nice and warm.
So that is what I'm working... Oh, no, I am also... Did I write those down? No. I'm making a pair of socks for Noah for Christmas out of a dark green skinny hazelnuts.
Is that just going to be plain vanilla?
They're mostly vanilla. I put a little band of seed stitch at the top underneath the ribbing.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and Monica wears the same size, or has the same size foot as Noah, but it's shaped differently. So I was asking her, like, the last time I used hazelnuts, I ran out of yarn. How long do you make the foot? So I have someone to consult with.
Oh, right.
So I don't run out because it's a rogue color.
Yes.
So I'm making those. That's my commute project right now.
That's a good commute project.
It is. And it feels like it's taking forever. But I'm almost done with the first one.
Oh, wow. So. Well, then it's not taking forever.
It feels like it. Because it's like... when socks are in stockinette, they look so wide. And especially if you have a 72-stitch sock. Mm-hmm. It just looks so big. It just feels like it takes a long time to get around each.
How long ago did you finish those Canon ones? Because you've been working on those for a while.
Yeah, those I started in like August.
Right, and then you just finished them, and now you've already finished one sock, so they're going a lot faster.
Almost finished. But still, I have a deadline for the Christmas socks. So
I have faith in you. You're just fine. You're good.
I think he'll have at least one pair of socks for Christmas. I think last year I made 2 pair. One was black. That's insane. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
Have you been reading anything?
I really have not. I got a bunch of stuff. The third book from Miss Peregrine just came out. And I got it from the library. And it's just been sitting there looking at me. Haven't picked it up. And then, I did that thing too where a bunch of stuff came all at once in the library. And then I was... Then they all just sat there and stared at me, and I haven't actually been reading, so... Because I've been watching a ton of TV. Ugh. What are you reading?
I finished... I think I'd started the Rosetta Codex last time. Mm-hmm. It's by Richard Paul Russo, who wrote Ship of Fools, which is that sci-fi book that I liked that was kind of like a mystery. They find the alien spaceship that's deserted. And this one was okay. It's also sci-fi. It's more of an adventure story where right in the beginning, this kid, there's a battle on the spaceship his dad's in charge of, and he gets jettisoned out onto the planet that they're nearby. It's a planet they were going to, but the ship was attacked. So he and his nanny get jettisoned out, and something happens to her when they crash land, and then he's picked up and brought up as a indentured servant, basically, in this really violent place, and then escape. So it's very fast moving adventure story of him escaping this indentured servitude and kind of finding out who he is and exploring more of this planet. And it was okay. I feel like it ended up weird. He didn't really know where it was going. He's like, oh, I'm just going to have this adventure story. And then the end, I was like, well, that was just kind of a throwaway ending.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I
liked Ship of Fools better. It was a lot more creepy and weird, which, I like that.
Yes, exactly.
And now I'm reading Dust Tracks on the Road by Zora Neale Hurston. It's her autobiography, which she's a little bit crazy.
Weird. And you like that.
Yeah, I do like that.
I was going to say.
I'm like, wow, she's really
Shirley
weird.
Jackson, kind
of. She grew up in Florida in an all African American community, which was really interesting to read about. Her mom passed away when she was very young, and her dad remarried 10 days after her mom passed away, and the stepmother did not get along with any of the kids. So all the kids were kind of dispersed to friends and family, and so she's just been shuffled around. And ended up in really, weird situations. And she's just getting to the part... I think she's, 16 or 17 now. She's just getting to the part where she's about to start in high school. She's always wanted to go to school, and she's just getting ready to start that kind of thing. And she's a big reader, but she says that she has visions and stuff, so there's this kind of... supernatural element, which I like.
But just usually weird. Not in your nonfiction.
Not in my nonfiction so much.
But
she said she has these visions, especially when she was a kid, about things that were going to happen to her in the future. And so she kind of knew where her life was going, that she'd be going through these really rough times. That's kind of interesting. I feel like it's not something I normally see in autobiographies.
Yeah, not just kidding.
When people say stuff like that, I feel like it's Sandra Brown type deal, She's clairvoyant who was on talk shows and stuff in the
80s. Oh, right, yeah.
Not someone who's a well-known author.
Right.
So, and I picked that book up at the Northern California Knitting Retreat. There was a book swap room where you could take a book. So I left that zombie romance book. Oh. And I got this autobiography. So
neat.
It's an interesting trade. Yeah. I also went to Carrie Brownstein's book reading on Friday. I saw that, Hunger Makes Me a Modern Girl. Yeah, it came with the book. Yes. The ticket came with the book. And it was really good. I haven't read the book yet, but it's a bestseller right now.
Yeah.
And it's Carrie Brownstein, who's well-known for Sleater-Kinney and Portlandia. And she just talks about, you know, growing up in the Pacific Northwest and being a musician and being a woman. And, you know, if you watch Portlandia, she has, like, a very interesting kind of self-deprecating and odd sense of humor. So it was really a funny book reading. And I'm excited to read the book.
Yeah. I'm on the hold list for it at the library.
Yeah.
Because I've heard, I mean, it's getting really good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I also,
I skimmed through it and her writing is really good. So I'm excited to read it.
Cool. I think the week before you did that, I went to see Garfunkel and Oates.
Oh, yeah.
At the Neptune, which was so much fun.
Yeah. They're really funny.
They are so funny and they are so, I don't know. It was a very funny show and they were being recorded for a TV special. Oh, okay. So they kept, like, they would screw something up and then this voice would come over going like, okay, guys, you've got to go back to the beginning and start that over. Like, they're being, like, directed while they're performing in front of a live audience, which is really weird.
That is weird.
But they were so funny. Or, like, at some point they had, like, the wrong track, backing track for a song and they had to be like, oh, wait, like, I'm going to go get my laptop. And they would, like, run their laptop over to a stagehand and, like, it was very strange. It was a really unconventional show to see, but it was a lot of fun.
It's funny they're playing at the Neptune, because when I went and saw them with Amanda, it was at the casino. One of the casinos.
Weird.
So I had to, like, walk through Smoky Casino into the performance room or whatever. It was very strange. And it was a very odd group of people who were seeing it. Like, there were people like me and Amanda who were like, we're going there to see this. And there were people who were like
just this is in our casino. Wild weekend. Woo!
We're just at the casino and we're going to go see this weird comedy music group.
Well, it's the first time I've been to the Neptune since they've like remodeled it and like added the bar, which so the Neptune is like an old theater in Seattle that had become a movie theater. And it has been had been a movie theater like the entire time I've lived here. And
I saw
now
the
they've converted it.
There.
I saw Boogie Nights there on Thanksgiving Day when there were only like three other guys in the theater who I swear really thought they were going to see like actual porn because they were like scattered really far from one another through the theater. And then it was me with Wes. And it was just like the creepiest movie-going experience. But seen a lot of movies there. But now they've sold the theater off, and now it's actually like a music venue again. Yeah. And they get a lot of interest. I mean, I drive by it every day for work, so there's always interesting stuff happening.
I saw the Magnetic Fields there, and then the book reading was there. And then, like, they do comedy recordings there.
Yeah, a lot.
And for TV.
And then a lot of, a lot of interesting
podcast
recordings
stuff.
And, like, just there's always something where you're like, huh, that thing's happening there. Like, I think Sarah Vowell, when she came to town or is coming to town, is going to be there. Anyway, so it's always, very Seattle-centric. Sorry, guys. But but go out and see something cool where you live. There's fun stuff happening, I'm sure.
Yep.
All right, so that's what you've been reading. So watching, I've been watching tons of TV. I don't even think I've, like, I haven't seen a movie in the theater. I don't know if I've actually even watched a movie. I've been watching Master of None, the new Aziz Ansari on Netflix, which I've only made about three episodes in, but I love him. I love that his parents are playing his parents on the show.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's really good.
Cause we both like him.
Yeah. Wes was a little mad that he's like, you started it without me. I'm like, I cannot wait for you. Cause he always wants to watch stuff with me, but then he never gets his act together to actually sit down and watch it with me. So then he wants me to wait forever for him to watch it. So I just started it and he jumped in somewhere. I've also been watching, so Mindy Project moved to Hulu and I think it's been really, really good this season. So I've been watching that and they've been doing it where it's like a new episode every Wednesday. There's another original series on Hulu that's called Casual that stars Michaela Watkins and it was like written and directed by I want to say it's like the team that did like Juno. So it's like, Jason Reitman's directing. Maybe Diablo Cody's not writing. I don't remember. Jason Reitman is heavily involved, like as producer director, I think. And it's a little, it's like, I don't quite know how I feel about it. Like, I like parts of it. I don't really like other parts of it. But it's like she plays a woman in the process of a divorce who has a teenage daughter, and they're living with her brother, and he is the programmer who created a dating website.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just sort of about the three of them and the way they try to navigate relationships and their parents, and like their mom's played by Frances O'Connor, who's like, you know, on tap to play like your crazy mom if you're on a TV show these days. And yeah, so I'm not really, it's like, there's some funny stuff in it. There's some like insightful stuff in it. There's some ouchy, painful stuff in it, but I don't know on the whole how I feel about it, but I still am like intrigued enough to go back and keep watching every. And it, again, it's like they release an episode each week. It's not like they give you the whole series like on Netflix. And then I've just been, we've been watching, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which freaking love. It's so funny. And it's totally like, if there ever was a TV show that was like, hey, you were a theater nerd, watch this show. Really, really funny. It's a musical. It's crazy. It's really wacky. It's very grown up and very weird and off kilter. And
several people have recommended it to
me. I really like it. It's funny. But it's really like aimed dead at the theater nerd crowd.
Someone said it was similar to the first season of Glee.
Exactly. That's how I feel about it too, because it's like, it's a musical, but it's got like a really kind of twisty, dark edge to it in some ways, but not like so much so that you're like, ooh, this is dark, but just where things happen where you're like, ooh, didn't think that was going to happen. It's just funny and weird. And I just like having a main character who's just a total like weirdo goofball. Because I'm a weird goofball. I like that. She's Jewish, too. I like that, too. Weird Jews unite. there's not a lot of us on TV. It's not, I like,
but they're all in theater.
Yeah, exactly.
All in theater. Yes. All in TV.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you end up on TV, there's a good chance you did a lot of theater stuff. So. Yeah, it's true. I like it because I did a lot of theater stuff, too. But, yeah. Yeah, so that's really good. And what else? I've been catching up on season 2 of iZombie, which I still really like. It's just a goofy...
It's on Netflix now.
Yeah, season 1's on Netflix. It's just a really goofy... You know, it's like, if you like a crime procedural, it's like that.
Twist on that.
But then it's also this very kind of lighthearted zombie story and a very different vision of what being a zombie means. And yeah, so it's very, you know, it's just Veronica Mars, but she's a zombie and she lives in Seattle. That's basically the show. and I do really like it. It's just very, I mean, it's so like easy to watch because it's just very light, nothing heavy going on. I'm also like completely up to date on Good Wife right now because I really like that show still. I don't think the season has been as good as previous ones, but I like that show. And it's like, you never know who's going to walk, like what amazing actor is going to suddenly show up when you're like, you, I love you. But yeah, so just tons of I've just been watching tons and tons and tons of TV. Yeah. What have you been watching?
Well, we watched Spy last weekend, which I really liked. I liked it.
So good.
Yeah. It was really good.
9 cats. Is that even legal?
I love, okay. So there's a lot of swearing in it, which I really enjoy because I swear a lot when I'm not like around kids. Sometimes even at work, but I'm just known for my salty language. I'm also a lot older than a lot of my coworkers, so whatever. Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was funny and it was pretty smart. And I love Rose Byrne. She's one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
So it's the same director as Bridesmaids and The Heat. And I thought The Heat was terrible. I really, really hated it.
Yeah, I never saw it because I heard terrible things
about
it.
I watched it on a Friday night at movie night. And funny fat girl, skinny uptight girl.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do this again.
Well, that's what I loved with Spy was that I feel like all the comedy came from people making incorrect assumptions about the main character based on her physical appearance.
Yeah.
That they just assume that she's dumb, that she's, you know, dopey, that she's not confident or capable or all mm-hmm. of these things because she's a big girl. And even as she is demonstrating to them that she is none of the things they're assuming, they still keep talking to yeah. her like she is this preconceived idea. So she's like keeps butting up against it. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it for that because yeah. I think it was very insightful actually about the sort of assumptions people make based on one's physical appearance.
Right.
And like you're fat, therefore you must not have a sex life. You must not be, you know, a person who is good at anything.
Right.
Or you must just be a sad, lonely person. And yeah. I just kept fighting against that.
Yeah.
So it's got Peter Serafinowicz, and it's always a good day when you let Peter yeah. Serafinowicz just chew up all the scenery in a movie. He is crazy yeah. in that movie.
Yeah. It was good. I really enjoyed yeah. it. Noah said that what he didn't like about it was the slow-mo fighting, which was, like, typical to spy movies.
Yeah.
But that was a very small part of it, so...
But again, though, by nature of the fact of who is doing the fighting, it's very different
yeah.
than other films. So, you know, it's something you don't see. But, yeah.
Yeah. I really liked Rose Byrne when they're having the toast in the plane. She's like, oh, that's a really sad toast. Is that it? Really? I like you. Yeah, that sounds like something I would say. Kind of mean, but funny. A little bit.
Yeah.
She's and her hair in that is just
her
insane.
Hair is crazy in that. The hair and the clothes. They really had fun with that.
Yeah. I'm on season 3 of The Wire. I really liked season 2.
Ooh, yeah.
Season 2 is really good. The one with Teamsters, the dock
yeah.
workers.
It yeah.
It's just... I thought even better than season 1. And season 3 is where they're, like, fighting over... Because, whatever. What's it
McNulty?
Called? In the first episode, they tear down the project where they were all living. And now they're trying to figure out some new place to deal all their drugs.
Right.
And the police are, like, helping them with that. It's very odd. But I feel like it's very... See, when was that? Like 2004, 2005? Mm. Still very pertinent the way that people are treated.
Yeah, no kidding.
To today. Like nothing has changed, yeah. basically, in 10 years, which is really sad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into political stuff.
No, but it's a great show.
Yeah, it's a really
Such
great
a good
show.
Series.
I watched The Great British Baking Show.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's great.
I love that show.
Whatever season is on Netflix, which is not the first
fourth
one.
Series that's okay. on Netflix.
I really, like, I think you said this too. I just like that everyone is nice to each other.
Yes.
And it's not catty, and they give good feedback, and, you know, it's not just glamorizing horrible people doing terrible things
exactly.
to each other.
It's just good-natured.
Yes.
Like, the competition is good-natured, the judges are...
Maybe really hungry.
Kind in their feedback. It makes you really want to be like, I want to make one of those, like, cakes that I never heard of before.
I know. Well, that's the thing is I hadn't heard of a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
And it just made me really interested in these, like, elaborate tiered yeasted breads. It's like, what is that all about? Put it in my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah,
so that was good. And I watched Broadchurch.
Season one. Series one.
That's
really good.
That's all that's on Netflix right now.
Series two... I set my TiVo to, like, hunt for it, and it found, like, 3 episodes of Series 2, but they're, like, the middle episodes. So I've just been, like, saving them, waiting for the other ones to air again.
That was very good.
I can't find it streaming anywhere. It's driving me crazy.
It's a British series that's, like, a police mystery where a young boy dies in the first episode, and it's a small town. It's the same size town as my hometown, so it's, like, 15,000 people, and... Everyone knows what everyone else is doing,
mm-hmm.
and everyone has secrets.
Yes.
So they're trying to find the killer.
Yeah.
It's very good, but it's kind of a downer.
Yes,
so
for sure.
If you're not into that, I would not recommend it.
What I enjoyed about that series is that the setup of, like, a murder in a small town, secrets will be revealed, is very standard, and that happens a lot. But I liked the authenticity of the characters that
yeah.
I like really, especially portrayal of the grieving family.
Yeah.
That it was this very, honest portrayal, not melodramatic,
yeah.
not over the top. And just, and of the police, you know, everyone was just, I felt very, it was very real and therefore very believable, which mm-hmm. made, even though the story, you know, is a little standard and that the, it was the characters and their yeah. performances that really make it great.
The mom especially. Yeah. Like she's so complex and I feel like her grieving process was so interesting. I mean, it's sad, but it's really interesting how she was dealing with things.
Exactly.
And that, you know, they also looked at the marriage troubles and the family troubles they were having at the time that they were also had this huge spotlight on them, mm-hmm. The community and newspaper reporters. And there's some discussion or treatment of how media treats tragedies like that.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It was really interesting and very good. I think it's 8 or 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really good. And then last night I started watching Halt and Catch Fire, which I did not like the first 10 minutes, and then I was like hooked on it.
Oh, I had that recommended to me a lot. Yeah. Lee Pace is in it, right?
Yeah, Lee Pace is in it. It takes place in 1983 in Texas. And basically it is like a tech drama
yeah.
about reverse engineering computers and technology race and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's Lee Pace is like the main guy who's kind of a scumbag, but you have sympathy for him in some ways. And then there's like the family man who works for, I think they're calling it Cardiff Electronics, who's kind of had his dreams thwarted mm-hmm. for building computers and free architecture. And then there's like the young girl who's this kind of programming phenom.
Right.
Who's super smart, and she gets involved with Lee Pace, which is the gross first 10 minutes. Make it past that, and you're good.
Okay.
Once they introduced a Family Guy, that's when I started getting interested in it. But, like, the first 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, this is just scuzzy and gross.
Yeah.
But the music is amazing.
Well, yeah.
So they have, like, late 70s kind of classic rock. They have 80s pop. And then they have, like, late 70s, early 80s, like, punk music, like Richard Hell. And, The Clash and stuff like that. So it's like all stuff I really enjoy. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is great. Plus, you know, 80s outfits.
Yeah.
And hair. It's pretty yeah. amazing. But I really like it. I'm on the third or fourth
and episode. And that's on Netflix right now?
It's on Netflix, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's an AMC show.
Right. Because they were trying to position, I think they brought it out like during like the fifth season of Mad Men, like when Mad Men was on hiatus, and they were sort of trying to position it as like, you know, watch like this. The new Mad Men, yeah. except now instead of the 50s, it's the 80s, mm-hmm. Which
it's
I don't think really caught on.
It's technology. Yeah. But, you know, I'm not a super techie person, but I'm finding it really interesting, especially in this time where all this stuff is just getting going, like the talk of PCs, mm-hmm. and because that was very uncommon in the early 80s. People didn't really have personal computers, and they're talking about like laptops and how do you make laptops,
yeah,
stuff like that. It's really interesting. And there, you know, there's kind of legal drama with IBM and how information gets leaked and all this other stuff. But it's like it's a drama,
yeah.
But I'm really enjoying it.
Cool,
because 80s,
yeah.
So that's what I've been watching.
All right. Is that everything?
Yeah, that's everything.
All right, cool. So show notes will be at doublenet.net. Yeah. And
we'll try to record again this month, but with the holidays and yeah. your work schedules, yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. A little
dicey. We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how
no
it
promises.
Goes. Yeah.
Join us at the Doublenet Podcast Fans Ravelry group.
And show us your finished cardigan
yeah,
pictures.
Yeah, Cardi Party.
I'm going to lock the thread and draw for prizes, and then I'll reopen it. So if you want to add stuff after the fact, then you can do that.
Yes.
Yes. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye.